Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. With a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Amen.
Brother, that's how God's truth marches on, is through his children, and it certainly marched on through our brother Chubb. You know, as you look back on a man's life, what can you say? I guess the best reflection of a man's life is his family, and I sought to speak with his family, and I want to give you some reflections of his family on our brother Chuck. Said our dad was the oldest of 11 kids. His 9 living brothers and sisters are here with us today. You see, Daddy was a family man. Family relationships were important to him, including his church family. That is why we miss him so today. Lucille says, in thinking what the most valuable factor in our marriage was, I readily recognize our mutual commitment to maintain a Christian home. We asked Christ to be the head of our home the day we were married, and our desire has never changed. Our family and church family are very dear to me. Daddy, knowing that he had cancer, was ready to meet the Lord. As we lived with him these last weeks, we have reminisced about our life with him. Our dad was our hero, a true friend, and an example of a consistent Christian life. Even in his times of trial and personal pain, his faith in Christ never wavered. He loved us, wanted the best for us, hurt with us, and encouraged us to get up and go on. BJ says, Daddy loved me enough to let me go. He and Mom always encouraged me to follow God's will, even when it meant years of separation and absence of grandkids, Art and I have freedom to share sorrow, personal disappointment, and new dreams, knowing that we would always be accepted with open arms. Daddy wouldn't allow me to have thoughts of giving up or quitting, Ruthie says. He taught us by example to persevere, to meet our goals, and to be and do our best. Conformity was not for its own sake. It was discouraged. We were unique creations in Christ, and we were encouraged to seek that uniqueness. Daddy had a motto, and I've heard him say this many times, look up and keep your powder dry. This was his way of encouraging us to look to Jesus for our help and be prepared to meet what came our way. It always gave us a lift to hear him say that. My dad was every good thing I want to be. He was tough enough to discipline and tender enough to guide me to the true happiness in life. Much of what I think today is based on what my dad taught me through his life. He taught me to be true. His life of integrity was my example. He taught me to do a job well. In everything he did his best. He was a gentleman, not afraid of death, and was confident that God's grace would provide not only for his death, but also blessing and security for those he left behind. Our separation is only temporary. Because Dad was such a loving and caring father, it is easy to trust God as our Heavenly Father. In Israel, there is a cactus called the sabra. Daddy is like that cactus. He was prickly on the outside, but soft and sweet, sort of like a marshmallow, maybe, on the inside. And today, Psalms 116:15 is a comfort as we read. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. As I remember back and think of Chuck, I think of his grin. He always met you with that big ear-to-ear grin, just wherever he was. And he reached out with that big hand. And those that have shook hands with Chuck know what I mean. He would just wrap that hand around your hand and you just get the warmest handshake that you ever had, along with that big smile. And I always think of Sunday school. He was very active in Sunday school here for many years. He was a member of this church for over 30 years. And the Sunday school looked up to him. Many times he'd call and we'd go and we'd sit and have a cup of coffee and we'd talk about our Sunday school and the things that went on here, this fellowship, because this was his family. And it meant much to him, just as his own family meant to him. Sometimes it's hard to separate one family from another when you're so close with each other in a church family. I think about the compassion that our brother had. Whenever you needed anything for someone, you'd call Chuck, and he would always just open his arms, open his home, or open his pocketbook to those that had a need. Whatever it may be, he was ready to fill that need. I also think about the steadfastness that he had. You could be sure that he would never waver in what he believed in. He was very steadfast, and I appreciate that in a man, that he can stand for what he believes, and Chuck did that, and he believed in our God, and he had the faith to stand fast in that. I can remember back when he had surgery on his eyes, and when things could have looked dim, it never looked brighter for Chuck. Everywhere you saw him and everything that he said was, he knew what the outcome would be. He knew that God was in control. And even with this bout that he had at the last deacon's meeting that he attended, I can remember us asking Chuck how he was. And he said, I'm fine. I'm great. And afterwards I talked with him after he found out that he had cancer. And he told me, he said, you know, at that time I didn't have the complete verdict that I had cancer. He said, but that makes no difference. He says, now I know and I'm still fine. He said, God is in control and he will use this to his glory. And I know he has and he will continue to do that. And I just praise God to have known a man like Chuck and know that I will spend eternity with him.
Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him." Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I spake unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. For if ye believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain shall, unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
With you, just a personal word. I'm going to take the liberty to do that because Chuck Below was a personal friend of mine. I'm glad that the Lord worked it out for me to be able to be here today to share in this coronation service. You know, in the ministry, you remember well the people who were real encouragers and also the people who were real discouragers. Those are the ones you remember the most. Now, you remember a lot of people, but you remember the encouragers and the discouragers the most. And I always remember Chuck Below as a real encourager. I was real young when I was here on staff. I'm still young, but I was real young when I was here. And I made some mistakes. But Chuck Below, big man with a big heart, always came, put his arm around me, gave me a big old bear hug, told me he loved me. He always had a word of encouragement for me, a big smile. He always made me feel from the very first time I ever met him that I was really a part of what was happening right here. And Jesus Christ always made a difference wherever he was. And he makes a difference here today. And we can rejoice today that Chuck Below is with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And I'm singing a song that the family asked me to sing. I sang it several times when I was here. Still sing it. Sang it last night at this youth camp over here with these young people. The song is entitled, "If Heaven Never Was Promised to Me." And Chuck lived his life as if Jesus Christ made so much good difference in his life that even if there had been no heaven, Jesus was worth having, just even if it was in this life. But I can assure you, Chuck has a whole lot more than just what Jesus gave him in this life today. So I share this song with you, If Heaven Never Was Promised to Me. Okay. You may ask me why I serve the Lord. Is it just for heaven's gain? Or to walk those mighty streets of gold and to hear the angels sing? Is it just to drink from the fountain that never shall run dry? Or is it just to live forever, ever and ever in that sweet old by and by? But if heaven never was promised to me, neither God's promise to live eternally, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, He came along and brought me the light. If there were never any streets of gold, neither a land where we'll never grow old, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, He came along and brought me the light. Oh, He's been my closest friend through the years. Every time I cry, He dries all my tears. It's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, He came along and brought me the light. I was lost. Living in a world of darkness, He came along and brought me the light. Just searching and living in a world of darkness, He came along and brought me the light. Yes, living in a world of darkness, Jesus brought me the light.
Like Brother Larry, I too have found much encouragement from my brother Chuck, and always kind of, in a way, looked to him as a father. Not really having known a true father in my life, and remembering back when I first came here, just what an encouragement he was. I think it was the first phone number I memorized, and I called it one time, particularly from Lake Swan, saying, how do you get there? I mean, Crystal Lake, I was lost in the woods. But he told me how to find it, and I was already a couple of hours late getting there. But I really count a privilege just to be here and to think about really the message that God has given us today. And because really today we come to celebrate Brother Chuck's graduation. That is his graduation from the School of Christian Life, where he has graduated. Now this is not the graduation, this is just a reflection of that graduation, because that graduation is in heaven. That's where it's taking place. And but we do know that it is taking place, and he is standing there before the Lord, to ready to receive all that he is to receive, having accepted Christ as his Savior and entered into the Christian life and becoming a child of God. You know, there was a day when he did accept Christ as Savior. That was the day he entered the School of Christian Life. But I thought about that. You know, God really is the one that designs the curriculum for the School of the Christian Life. He gives us the Bible as the textbook. Jesus has paid the tuition. In fact, he gives every Christian a scholarship to that school. And then the Holy Spirit is the instructor, the teacher. to carry one throughout life. And so I was just thinking back the many courses that I know Chuck took, some of which I knew about, many of which I didn't know about. Courses on humility and courses on teaching your children how to become a Christian, and courses on how to be a better church member and serve the Lord. Courses on witnessing, on sharing your faith. He's had many courses in the School of Christian Life and done well in each of those courses, and was attentive to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit taught him well. And, you know, it really pleases the Lord when we listen and when we take serious what he has to teach us and to be in that curriculum that he has designed for every life. Some of the courses were very difficult in last year or two, when he was going through a course on with his eyes. But he there again had faith and trusted the Lord to meet his need and didn't waver one bit in his faith. I know, being human like all of us, we have our times when we may ask questions or raise questions, but still we know ultimately it's the Lord in whom we rest. The Psalm 62:5 says, let all of your expectations be from the Lord. And our brother too, let all of his expectations be from the Lord. And then Chuck was also attentive to his tutors, many tutors. He had many pastors, several pastors, that is, throughout his life, his Christian life. And they were his tutors as they opened the Word, the textbook, and provided tutoring so that he may be more attentive to the instructor, the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Bible, the textbook, is one textbook that we do need to pay attention to, and Chuck did love the Word. He loved Sunday school, and because I think that was where we heard, that's where the Bible was taught, and where the lessons of life were learned. Now, you know, it does raise a question that we may ought to each ask, is every one of us enrolled in the school of the Christian life? Have we accepted the promise of Jesus, and have we enrolled in that school? Are we being taught? Are we listening to the curriculum that God has taught us, as Brother Chuck did? Are we opening the textbook regularly and reading and feeding our soul and finding instruction for our spirit? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit? Do we take time each day and to what the Holy Spirit, the teacher, has to say to us? That's the question that each of us must ask. And I hope you are, because you too will come to a graduation day, as our brother Chuck has come, a day when he is now putting on a robe of righteousness and a crown of glory. And he will stand before the Lord to receive that diploma. And the Lord will say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Well done. You know, I'm so thankful that in the School of Christian Life, the responsibility to make it through that school is really the Lord's responsibility and not ours. It's our responsibility to receive it by faith. But God established a covenant through Jesus Christ. And that covenant, thank goodness, he keeps his end, and through Jesus he keeps our side as well. And so really the Christian life isn't difficult. It's possible. It's possible by faith and endurance. And I encourage you, as Brother Chuck did, to endure. And then I think about the very last course that Brother Chuck took, the one we've just seen him in this last few weeks. I believe he graduated this course with honors. He got straight A's this time in that course. There was no questioning in my mind that he did. And he listened well, and he responded. And he'd been prepared, I think, over the years for this course. And we, too, need to learn something from him and his faith. And we know I will look forward to the day when we can join him and we can look at his diploma and see all the A's that were there on his report card. I'm so thankful that Brother Chuck was a part of our life. I'm so thankful he's part of my life. And I know that take that word of encouragement from him, and we check our lives to be sure that we too are receiving all the benefits of the School of Christian Life, and then too we will join him one day and receive that robe of righteousness and that crown of glory. and which we can be thankful that our Lord purchased it with his precious blood, and we have that precious hope in heaven. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, that Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. Thank you, Lord, that through the difficulties of life, that still it is possible to live life victoriously. We thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit gave Brother Chuck and Lucille and the children the special measure of grace in these recent weeks, that they might come through this experience victoriously. I thank you, Lord, that our brother is whole and well now and walking the streets of gold. Lord, we don't fully understand all of it because we do see through a glass darkly, but we do know that we shall come face to face with him. Thank you, Lord, for the words of scriptures in 2 Corinthians. It says, we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yea, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but are well known to God, and also trust are well known in your conscience. Thank you, Lord, for this prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this encouragement from your word. And we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.